In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today I would like to speak to you about the pomps of Satan. Nearly all of you have at some point in your lives assisted at a baptism. And during the course of the baptism, you may recall, the priest puts certain questions to the newly baptized. These are answered by the sponsors, if the baptized be a child, or by the catechumen himself, if he be an adult. The priest first asks, "What dost thou ask of the Church of God?" And the answer to this is faith. Then he says, "And what doth faith bring thee to?" The answer is life everlasting. Having first determined this holy motive for baptism, the acquiring of faith, the priest a little later asks, "Dost thou renounce Satan?" The answer is, "I do renounce him. And all his works, I do renounce them. And all his pomps, I do renounce them." I often wonder if the sponsors understand what they are saying when they renounce the pomps of Satan. More importantly, will the newly baptized child be instructed as he gets older in the renunciation of the pomps of Satan? The works of Satan are easy to understand, for these are sins. These consist in disobedience to the law of God, whether in thought, word, or deed. But the pomps of Satan refer to the allurements of Satan, that is, all that the world loves, esteems, and seeks, of which Satan makes use as a powerful means of leading men astray. The world here understood is not God's creation, which is good, but the world as it is opposed to God. The world, in this sense, is that of which the devil is the prince, for he is called the prince of this world. This world, or the world, in this sense, means, therefore, an attitude, a way of life by which we believe that we are made only for this life, and we act in like manner. It is a repudiation, at least in the practical order, of the existence of God and of his right to our service and obedience. The pomps of Satan, therefore, are those things which the world offers to us to retain our attention and our servitude to itself, which is ultimately an attention and a servitude to Satan. And here are some examples. The first category of the pomps of Satan is earthly goods. Excessive love of money and of material possessions is one of the principal pomps of Satan. Material things have a single purpose: to enable us to serve God the way we ought. Hence, we ought to have food, shelter, and clothing. We ought to have cars, furniture, household devices, and accoutrements. We ought even to have toys and entertainments. But all within reason, that is, all in accordance with our ultimate end, which is heaven, and in accordance with our state of life. When this norm of reason is exceeded, then the earthly goods become ends in themselves, like little gods, and we fall into a type of idolatry in this regard. We most often shudder at the impurity and the promiscuity of the modern world, and we ought to. But one of the most destructive influences in modern society is the excessive love of money and of worldly goods. These are the pomps of Satan, and the excessive love of money and of worldly goods goes hand in hand with impurity and promiscuity. Now, here are some signs of being infected or attached to the pomps of Satan in this regard of earthly goods. First, impulse buying. Buying without thought. Second, having an appetite to shop and to buy. Taking excessive delight in buying a new thing, where this becomes your entertainment. Three, boredom and even depression shortly after having bought something new. And the reason for this boredom and sometimes a sadness is that you are so attached to the thing and so demanding of it that it give you entertainment and delight that when it fails, as they all do shortly after you have bought them, to produce this for you, you go into a type of sadness. And that's a sign that you bought it for the wrong reason. That you did not have a true use, but that you bought it for the wrong reason. That is, to entertain yourself. Four, spending beyond your means. Living up to every penny you earn with nothing in the bank and high credit card debt. That's a sign of attachment to the pomps of Satan, unless you're so impoverished that you can't do anything else. But in most cases, if you have a life of relative comfort and you're living like this, where there's nothing in the bank and you're living on the brink all the time, that's a sign that you are attached to material things. Five, envy over the good fortune of others. Attachment to material things will inevitably produce that effect in the soul. And six, this is true among men especially, excessive ambition to make money, resulting in excessive time spent in business pursuits. The second category is the pleasures of sense. These comprise not only the pleasures of impurity, acts of impurity, acts of gluttony, for those should be categorized under the title of the works of Satan. Here we're talking about the allurements of Satan. And among these allurements in the pleasures of sense are included these: television shows, movies, plays, or other amusements which are impure or suggestive. That is, either which show filth or which glorify an immoral lifestyle. They may not show anything, but there may be a clear message of the glorification of some immoral lifestyle. And I am appalled at what people see, people who consider themselves otherwise pious, going out to movie theaters or renting videos which are objectionable, morally objectionable. I'll give you a few examples. Braveheart, which was supposedly a clean movie, turning over a new leaf for that movie star Mel Gibson who goes to the traditional mass. But in it, there is a theme of fornication. And that's immoral for people to watch. It's wrong for people to see such a movie when there's a theme of fornication in it. Or another movie, which I can't remember the exact name of, Jumanji or Bimanji or one of those, some sort of crazy name like that, in which there is an overtone of a Ouija board, where there is a magic game, which makes one think about a Ouija board, and where magic and sort of dark things happen as a result of playing with the game. And that's not wholesome. And yet, I think most of the parish has taken their children to see this. And Star Wars now, where there is a definite overtone of New Age, the Force be with you. And this has become very popular among all the parishioners. And that's New Age. It's not only exposure of skin which is immoral. It is not only the use of bad language that is immoral. Also in these movies, these modern movies, you typically see the modern family in which there is one parent, and that's held up as a norm, and where the children speak in a most disrespectful manner to those who are their guardians or their any kind of adult, their parents, those set over them, in an absolutely disrespectful manner. And this is not something for children to see. This is not entertainment or an example. These are the pomps of Satan. And I remind you that you must detach yourselves from the modern culture if you expect to go to heaven. And if you consider yourself pious on the one hand, but on the other hand are frequenting these kinds of television shows or movies or plays or anything of that nature, you are a hypocrite. You are a Pharisee. And God detests Phariseeism. Read the Gospels. Secondly, anything which engages in lavish display is pomps of Satan, such as the allurements of Las Vegas and places like that, casinos, bars, and so forth. Enjoying too much food, either by eating too much or by paying excessive attention to the preparation and the taste of food. And fourth, an excessive love of comfortable furniture, especially in bedding. Or an excessive love of comfortable clothing. There are certain people who cannot bear to be clothed in any way except that is comfortable. And it is a sign of sensuality. Or who buy furniture that is soft and excessively comfortable. This is a sign of sensuality. Now, it's not a serious thing in itself, but it is a sign of other things. Five, too much time spent in warm showers or baths. Sensuality. That's not a serious thing in itself, but it is a sign of sensuality if it is something you are attached to. Too much time spent in hygiene and personal appearance. Too much perfume or cologne. Too much time spent in the beauty parlor. And in general, any excessive softness of life and a pampering of sense pleasures and comforts are all pomps of Satan, some great and some small. And the third category of the pomps of Satan is praise, distinction, and superiority. It is one of the most powerful forces upon us. This love of praise and the respect of human beings. For once it engages us, it has the devastating effect of turning an otherwise well-intentioned and morally upright person into an evil person, even into a monster. For he is prepared to do anything in order to retain human praise and respect. Anything, even shameful things, in order to retain human praise and respect. And the devil uses this in order to lure people into sin. Signs of this are, first, a love of excessively stylish clothing or hairdos, or any type of appearance which draws attention to oneself. It is not wrong to be well-groomed. It is not wrong to look good. But if you do something that purposely draws attention to yourself, you are attached to the pomps of Satan. Second, a love of glitzy, flashy, and slick things, such as flashy sports cars, sunglasses, shoes, and so forth. In this category, we ought to put rock music, which makes a cult culture of the glitzy and the flashy, and which makes no secret of the fact that these are the pomps of Satan. You have only to look at the people who sing this music. They are filled with the spirit of the devil, and they make advertisement of it. The ever-popular Madonna is a perfect example of this pomp of Satan. Thirdly, envy over another's success, appearance, money, friendship, or any good thing at all is a sign, again, of this pomp of Satan. Fourth, ostentation in spiritual things, such as wearing medals in an ostentatious manner, or displays of piety that are meant to impress others, odd practices, or very severe mortifications so as to make others appear less pious, to be unctuous in one's speech and pietistic. These are all signs of the spirit of the devil, even though they have the appearance of piety. Fifth, criticism and gossip, fault-finding, particularly of superiors, causing turmoil and ill-feeling in institutions and communities, is a sign of this pomp of Satan, and it stems from the false idea of one's own superiority over others and from an envy of the superior. Sixth, duplicity in speech and in actions, so as to gain the praise and the respect of everyone, even people with whom we deeply disagree and whose actions we disapprove of. But through duplicity, in order to gain something from everyone, we put on a good face to all, even though at times we are obliged by the profession of our faith and by the necessity to do fraternal correction to show disapproval of others' actions. But through duplicity, we give approval and a good face to all, even to those principles which are contradictory. Now, Lent is the great holy season of penance. Our sensual nature tends to look upon it with a certain dread. But our higher nature, our souls, should look upon it with relief, in the same way that a man with a splitting headache would look upon a bottle of aspirin. Holy Mother Church, in her maternal wisdom, will have us go through the cure of Lent, so that we may rid ourselves not only of the works of Satan, but also of his pomps and allurements. For just as it is impossible to avoid sin if we frequent its occasions, so it is impossible to avoid the works of Satan if we frequent his pomps. The last great act of Lent on Holy Saturday will be the blessing of the baptismal water in the font. It is in this water, which has the power of the blood of Christ, that we were first washed of our sin. But we were only admitted to this font of regeneration, this fountain of the blood of Christ, after we had promised to renounce Satan and all his works and all his pomps. May your Lent be a renewed detachment from Satan, his works, and his pomps, so that you may rise spiritually again on Easter Sunday with the same innocence and purity of soul as on the day of your baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.